ordained God. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was lifted to the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the will of men.
Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Set our minds, Lord, on the things from above. We pray, Father, for the service this morning. Pray for the children going to children's church. Pray, Father, that you would give them, the children, a spirit of peace. Pray that you would help them to be attentive and to learn. Help them, Father, to have fun and joy in their learning. But help them, Father, to just be excited to learn this amazing message about Christmas and what it really means. Thank you, Lord, for all of our teachers and all those who strive so hard. Thank you for John. Lord, we pray for Alan this morning, the man he ministered to clear back in Maine. And we pray, Lord, for his mom, little Moses. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in fifth grade or below at the morning, from the scriptures, from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. He just went out. Yeah. I guess we'll come back. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to kind of do a verse and then a little commentary on it, a little different format than I usually do, but that's designed to keep you on your toes. There is no bulletin insert from me this week. Instead, we had a Wham-a-Dine concert on Friday night. How many of you guys were there?
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Tell me, was it good?
Yes.
I've never heard anybody play guitar like that guy. His wife was a great singer. And we got to sing. I am not burned out on Christmas carols this year because with music like that, right here in front of us, I was just amazed. And to listen to his story about being homeless. And for those of you that would like to be encouraged, he took all of his lessons, his guitar lessons, off YouTube. So for those of us that were here, we're like, because it was amazing. I think he could be giving lessons on YouTube or anywhere else. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now isn't it interesting that these guys are just out there? Can you go in your mind out on the hills with them? They're there. They've got sheep. They're raising their sheep. They're doing their sheep thing, their shepherd thing. That's who they are. These shepherds were just ordinary men living ordinary lives. Some of them were maybe owners of the sheep. Maybe others were just hired men out with the sheep. We read back in the Old Testament, the life of David, where he talks about being a shepherd and having to take down a bear and a lion and eventually a giant. But here are these guys. They've just punched in, gone to work. They're just doing their thing, just living ordinary days in an ordinary place, doing ordinary things, completely unaware that the world was just about to change. Colleen fell on that, across that fire pit recently. That's one of the things that she talked about over the next couple days is how, you know, she's just walking along. We had plans. We were going out to dinner that night. The next day we were headed to Oregon to go on to a retreat. We were going to do all that stuff. And in a split second, everything changed. Everything changed. And so it is with so many things in life. Just in a moment, if I can capitalize on a phrase, in the twinkling of an eye, it all changes. These shepherds, they're out there. They assume that today will be just like every other day. And they're not thinking about how fast everything can change. I love it. Shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Think about yourself doing something mundane. Think about yourself, you know, Betty Judkins at the sink doing dishes, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared. You know, Dave Eddie out in the back chopping some wood, just doing his thing, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. And it all changes in a moment. An angel appears. It's not that any of us expect an angel to appear and the glory of the Lord to shine around us. But if it did, can you relate with the shepherds who were filled with a great fear? I don't know about you. I would probably be paralyzed. My mouth would fall open so far I would get a rub button on my chin. I'm telling you, it would just be whoa. My tongue would fall out, my eyes would pop out. I would be filled with great fear. But the reality is, before any of us can listen and hear from God, we've got to be motivated to listen. Fear motivated the shepherds. What motivates us today? I think fear is still a pretty good motivator. We have fear of a lot of things. And that song, it's kind of played all year long. It's kind of a Christmas song. Carrie Underwood, she's Jesus Take the Wheel, because she's driving back home on the way to Louisiana on a snow white Christmas Eve. Got the baby in the back seat. And all of a sudden, on that thin black sheet of glass, that car goes slide. She throws her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. I think that's a hit song, not just because it's a good song, but I think it's a hit song because we can all relate to times in our lives when we have said, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't handle this. I can't manage this. The fear is too much. It's just not working out for me. I remember that time in my life. I was a young man, a young soldier. I was married, didn't have a clue how to have a successful marriage. We had a daughter, didn't have a clue how to be a father. But all of a sudden, I find myself being a man, a soldier, a husband, a father, and completely unable to do any of them. And there was a certain amount of Jesus, take the wheel. Because I was afraid. You know, fear not only can motivate us to listen, love can motivate us to listen as well. Love can move something in our heart and cause our ears to just pop up. Give us the opportunity, you know, the desire. One of my problems as a young husband was, how was I going to take care of my family? I was afraid I couldn't do it. And the reason I was afraid was because I loved them so much. Love is that big motivator that makes us stop and listen to God. But you know, fear and love also can become quite a different motivator. They can cause us to shut our ears off, to just fail to hear anything. Good advice just runs off of us. We won't listen. We won't hear because we're not looking for answers. We just are kind of covering up. We don't want to be heard anymore. So we just don't listen. So the reality is you can't scare someone into listening, can you? Those of you who grew up in an abusive home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. With that parent that's just berating you. Listen, 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 listen. And inside your head, you're just standing there going, I think he's got about 2 more minutes. And then it's going to be a wind. And then I'm going to be able to go, oh, yes, Dad, yes, Dad, yes, Mom. Yes, yes. Can you relate? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the fear can cause us just to shut our ears and not listen. Sometimes when we love somebody so much, our love can blind us. We can see somebody and we're like, oh, I love him so much. Yeah, I know. I know he just got out of prison, but I love him so much. Oh, I know he's been a drug addict for 100 years, but I love him so much. I know he's got all these problems, but I love him so much. See, so the love begins to trump the problems and the situation, and there we are. In fear and love and belief. Well, where does it all come together? I want to throw this out there, not because I want to be political or have any opinion on this, because I really don't. Because I'm trying just to keep my opinions limited to the context of Scripture. But you know, over this past week, Donald Trump, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but he made a comment on it that no more Muslims should be allowed to immigrate to America until the Immigration Department comes up with a better way to screen terrorists. Now, first, I would like to say that immigration certainly needs fixed. But the statement that he made is like saying no Christian can immigrate until we sort out whether you are Catholic, Protestant, Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness. And if we're planning, say, to keep out the Mormons, and we find out that you've ever had a Mormon friend, or ever shown some kindness to a Mormon, or have belonged to the Mormons, or belonged to the Mormons and left them, or had a close family member that is a Mormon, then we're not going to allow you to come into our country because we're afraid of you. That's what I hear when I hear that statement. But you know, fear does motivate people, doesn't it? Motivates them to listen. It also motivates them to stop listening. To stop thinking. To stop processing things all the way through to the end. Knowing that fear motivates us and that our motivations can be misleading, it is important to note that when God sent his angel to announce the birth of his son, he didn't send it to a single person. He sent the angel to a team of people. Not a shepherd, but shepherds who were abiding in the field. So whenever we have that sense that we're hearing from God, we need to make absolutely certain that there are others around us that are verifying and agreeing with us. God doesn't need us to do something solo. For that, he's got himself. He can handle it. He needs us working as a church, as a team, as a collection. Every Christian that I've ever known in my life has tried to succeed at Christianity alone and with their own strength has failed. We can't do that. We have to be in it together. There's a lot of reason for that, and I could go on and on, but this message is about something else. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" See, the very first thing that the angel did was to take care of the immediate need. The angel knew and understood that the shepherds are there and they're filled with fear and they are not going to, they're not going to hear anything. Kind of like those of you that have been to the doctor with either yourself or a loved one, and you're sitting there and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but that biopsy came back and it's cancer." I want to tell you something. The doctor continues to talk after that, but you have no idea what they're saying. Because I'd say Charlie Brown's mom kicks in as soon as you hear that word cancer. That doctor's voice goes from cancer to why. Because you don't, why? Because the fear is kicked in and it's taken over. That's all you got. The message of Christmas. There's hope when the doctor says cancer. The angels dealt first off with that immediate need. The shepherds were afraid. They said, "Fear not." Fear, that big motivator. We can't trust our decisions when we're responding out of fear. So the first message was to be calm. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Now, this is the introduction to the Christmas message, a message of life and hope to everyone, everywhere, for all time. This isn't about something that just happened first century Bethlehem. This is something that is still affecting us today. There's good news that God loves us, that He has hope for us. You know, it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, most of us know that song. We're familiar with it. It says, "For God so loved the world." The word "world" is translated from the same word where we get our word cosmos. God so loved the cosmos that He gave His Son. That is, that God so loved everything. God so loved the planets. God so loved the stars. God so loved the trees. God so loved the children. God so loved the donkeys and the dogs and the cats and the birds. God so loved everything. God so loved Christmas that He gave His Son. You see, through the birth of Christ, all have been blessed. Even the non-believer receives the blessings of Christmas. The non-believer is subject to a blessed life here on earth just because of the birth of Christ. This is good news of great joy for all people. Christmas is a message of great joy. But just because God loves you does not mean that you are His child. It does not mean that He will grant you eternal life. See, that message is reserved for those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior. The message of Christmas is a message of great joy for all people because the Savior has been born. The message is not that God loves us. That's, God loving us is not the Christmas message, because God has always loved us. From the very first day, God loved us. The very first day of creation, He loved us. But on Christmas, redemption came. Redemption for those who believed. Not challenge you today. You know, John challenged Alan with that one question. Do you believe in heaven? Yes. Do you believe in hell? John told me there was a long pause, and the guy said, yes. Don't you think it's time to choose between the two? You believe God loves you? Yes. Do you believe that there's redemption for you? Yes. God says you have to receive Jesus Christ in order to be redeemed. Don't you think it's time to receive Jesus Christ? See, you can go through your whole life. You can go through, every day can be Christmas all along, and life can be good, and you can be having the time of your life, and just good, just pouring out happiness and joy and health. But inside you know there's something missing. Because the presents are all around, but you know that you've never opened the one with your name. See, Christmas isn't over until you unwrap the present. Christmas isn't yours. Up till then, it's just a party. Don't you think it's time to unwrap the present with your name on it? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The sign from God is common and simple. Something that happens every day. There's no big show. It was just a baby being born. Something soft, something innocent, something heartwarming. Something that's unforgettable. Something that changes everything. A baby was born. A Savior. An infant. Wrapped in poverty. Born into the most humble of beginnings. Not how we would expect a king to arrive. But he was a king nonetheless. Not a king of a country. But a king of people's hearts. The shepherd gathered their emotions as the angels spoke to them. They became real crystal clear on what was happening. And just to reinforce it, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The smallest events on earth can cause a great commotion in heaven. So it is with every man or woman that decides to turn from their sin and begin to live for God. It is time. The smallest thing happens down here. But in heaven, angels explode. I've prayed with I don't know how many people in my life to receive Christ. But one of the things that I've noticed is there's never any bell or whistle that goes off. There's never any alarm that's like, you know, somebody says, Father, come into my heart. It doesn't happen that way. Receive Christ, and it's like, it's just a small thing. It's just a sentence. It's just a feeling in your heart, an awareness in your mind. A light bulb that comes on, that brings thought, clarity. And suddenly, in heaven, a chorus of angels begins to sing. Because a human being has been transformed because somebody has stepped forward and picked up the gift with their name on it. And they thought, if this is mine, why don't I open it? And the paper goes flying. The ribbons fall to the ground. And the box comes open. And what's in there? The memory of a baby. memory of a life. Suddenly you begin to see the need to exchange my life for this life. And suddenly you see the cross. And suddenly you see Christ being sacrificed for you. And suddenly you see your sins falling away. And suddenly there's a bit of a joy that takes place that nobody can see on the outside. But inside, it's like this washing. It's this spirit coming in. And the sins just being expelled right out through the pores of your skin. And suddenly, you know that that cross was meant for you. And suddenly you realize that you've been transformed by the power of Christmas. By the power of this baby. Because you know that because after the cross came an empty tomb. And you know that now nothing, absolutely nothing will seize you in the course of your life that can destroy you. Because even if you die, yet shall you live. So at that moment, we lay our lives down that God might receive us and live through us. And the world is transformed and it's changed. And it all begins by simply answering that question. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Don't you think it's time to make the choice? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The message of God should cause us to take action. One of the reasons people don't come to Christ is they're like, "Well, I'll just be a hypocrite because I'm going to continue to do the things that I love." Okay. Take your sheep, the things that you love, and drive them on down to Bethlehem with you. Go and meet the King and see if He makes a change in your heart. Because when He gets a hold of you, a transforming power takes hold of you, and suddenly all that was foggy will become clear. And our life will change. It'll change for the glory of God. And they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. You see, they went. They saw. They verified it and they shared it. There's no such thing as secret Christians. It gets to be on the tip of your tongue. Gets to go, "Somebody wishes me happy holidays." I don't mean to say back Merry Christmas and to be mean about it. It just slips back out. I'm not trying to make a point. I'm not going to go over to Starbucks and write Merry Christmas on their cup. I'm just happy about Christmas. When somebody wishes me happy holidays, I just say Merry Christmas to you too. Gosh, if they were Jewish and I offended them, I guess I'd be like, "Oops, sorry. Merry Christmas anyways." Because I don't know what else to say because it's all I know.
Jesus was Jewish.
I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm saved. Sorry if that offends anybody. Are you with me? And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Define wonder. All who heard what the shepherds were talking about, they were amazed. They marveled at what they had said. Does that mean they agreed with the shepherds, or does that mean they thought the shepherds were crazy? Because it kind of depends on where you go and where you're sharing the same story, doesn't it? Because some places that you go and you share, they think you're crazy. There's some places in this world where you can go and share the story of Christmas and they will kill you, literally. Because they wonder what it all means. was one, Mary, who treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned. They returned. They went back to what they were doing. They went back to their everyday jobs. They went back just like nothing had happened, in a sense. Somebody had to take care of the sheep. Somebody had to raise their children. Somebody had to tend all the things of life. They had talked to angels. They had heard from God. They had met the Messiah. And they went back to tending their sheep. How important is your everyday life? How important is the mundane, the job that you do? I want to tell you something. It's your calling. Do it. And do it well. Do it for the glory of God. Praising God for all that you've heard and all that you've seen as it's been told to you. You see, as Christmas approaches, don't let the world steal it from you. Don't let them rob you of the hope that lies in Christmas. Don't let them turn it into something unholy. Don't let your heart miss out on the greatest gift of unwrapping the gift of salvation. You can wait till Christmas. You can unwrap it right now. John challenged us with the question when he said to his friend Alan, is there a heaven? Yes. Is there a hell? Yes. Don't you think it's time you made the choice? The answer is yes. It's time you made a choice. Does it mean you're going to be able to? That you're going to have to change your life? No, it means you get to change your life. It means you're going to have the strength to change your life. It means you can get plugged into a church that will help you with your new life. It means that the whole world can have be a future instead of a shame. It means that there can be hope. Hope in every situation. Because hope is what comes from God. Hope is what was born on Christmas. Let's stand together. If it is time, I just want to ask you to raise your hand and say, today's the day I need to make a change. Can you do that right now? Here's one person. Is there another? Think, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I can tell you, as a believer myself, as a believer for 30-some years, I want to tell you something. I'm still not sure I'm ready. Because when you're walking with God, you're walking in faith. And you're out there on the edge. And I want to tell you, there's some fear takes place. If I make one little slip, it's all going to fall apart. There's some fear with that. But right alongside that fear, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Knowing that you can fail. Knowing that you can be hated. Knowing that you can be rejected. Knowing that the world can fall apart and it's okay. Because God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die. Are you ready to give your life for Him today? Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. I pray, Father, that not a single person would leave here without knowing the peace that you have for them. Without knowing and understanding the gift that's wrapped and lies under your tree for them. Father, that they would see your name on it and that they would be anxious to unwrap it. They no longer have to hold it, Lord, until Christmas Day. They can take it right now. Receive Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us for we have sinned. Father, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus is our Savior. Pray, Father, that your Spirit would come into our heart and transform us. Pray, Lord, that we would be able to feel the very sin washing out of our body. And that we would know that we have been redeemed by you and for you in Jesus. Christ was born for us. Help us, Lord, to no longer live lost in sin, but help us, Lord, to live with the power of redemption alive in our lives. That hope would be never ending. That hope would be right before us as we pursue our life with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Give you a great week. You've done your Christmas shopping.